and life are free.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. A little late, Stacks and Jacks, but we're here. S&P futures are down 750. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures down 19. Do we have Mr. Lou?
I am on. How are you,
buddy? Well, we're late, but we're here. So we're here. We have AV on the board.
Good morning.
We're all happy to batty, but AV is piling in here, so we're good to go. How are you?
I'm well. I would have liked to have set my alarm clock for 45 minutes later this morning, if had I known, but that's the way that things work.
Well, you could have come. No, you should have just called me. I was waiting on the alley for Manny. You know, I was I could have talked to you for a while.
We could have, we could have plugged in. Well, I wanted to just start because I always try to get some sports in the hour. I just wanted to start briefly to talk about this NBA season cancellation and boycott. And it's again, I've got Sirius satellite, so I listen to a couple of different sports channels on it, and it's amazing to me how, again, limited the understanding of so many sports reporters is of sort of basic employment law, which is what this whole discussion roils around. The point I would make is this. This stuff is almost certainly, the walkout by the NBA players, a couple of teams, is almost certainly a violation of the collective bargaining agreement. And almost certainly a violation of individual contracts. And this is the house of cards that Adam Silver has built. I realize this will sound like heresy, but I could not care less if the NBA folds right now. If I were the management, I would take advantage of this move. If in fact, this is what ultimately happens. But I would take advantage of this move to start canceling contracts. NBA contracts are guaranteed, but they're not guaranteed, for everything. And this kind of conduct, I think, would provide more than an adequate basis for the management team to say, you know what, we're not paying you guys anymore. We're cutting off the funds. This is illegal under the bargaining agreement. If you guys want to do this and you want to fight about this, let's go to the NLRB. But this, we can't tolerate this. I'm astounded, quite frankly. And we'll see what happens. But the first thing that ought to be out of anybody's mouth on this is, what does the collective bargaining agreement say? And if this is a wildcat strike, does this allow management leverage to begin terminating contracts of people who walk off? And this is not even, I'm not even getting to the underlying basis of the complaint, which, based on the video that I saw and based on the report that was released by the Kenosha police and the Wisconsin Department of Justice yesterday, looked like a mistake, maybe, but certainly under the circumstances and in the heat of the moment, a justifiable use of force by those police officers.
A few things, Lou. First of all, maybe if you have better things to do, you don't listen to the show every day. There's a theme here that I'm not even putting together. But there's a theme here Maddie always gets pissed off at me when I say it's a younger generation thing, and probably so. It isn't just a younger generation thing. It's happened before, I think, in other places, and even here probably. But there's this view now that when you talk about the law, Lou, in case you haven't figured it out by now, my friend, nobody cares about the law. Nobody cares about the red light. Nobody cares about the stop sign. Nobody cares about antitrust. It's all about what you think the law ought to be. And the phrase came from you, my friend. We're not just moral relativists anymore. We're like legal relativists.
Yeah.
That's even a term.
Well, there's a narrative that is being promoted throughout certain aspects of the culture, and we don't let facts get in the way of the narrative.
Right. Never let the facts get in the way of a good story, they say. Just saying. But I look at the video, Lou, and I've taken one gun class in Indiana that Kathy Durbin, remember Kathy, dragged me to.
Yep.
You know, and I had a terrific time. I met some great people. I learned some stuff. Look, everything I learned in my 4-hour class, these policemen don't do. They mean the training is horrendous. There's one guy.
What don't they do?
My mom used to say, my dad was a policeman. She said, you only pull your gun out to absolutely shoot it. You don't have it out with your hand on the trigger, waving it around. I mean, because that's absolutely a recipe for disaster.
Why did they have the guns out?
I don't know. I mean, the guy was unarmed. It appeared.
No, he was carrying a knife.
Well, the knife they found in the car, but I'm saying.
Well, they ultimately found a knife in the car, but you could see a picture of him carrying the knife. I've seen the stop action photos of the video.
But
he's got a knife in his hand.
There used to be four big cops with a billy club, and a guy with a knife is no match for him. I mean, this idea that everybody's got their guns out with their hands on the trigger, Lou, I got to believe that if I walked up to a car that I pull over on the side of the road and I'm by myself, there's two or three guys in there, and I walk up with a gun and I like point it through the window, any kind of reaction in there, I'm going to think somebody's doing something to me and I'm probably going to let fire. That's where I wait for backup. I'm saying the training is horrible. I don't know what it should be. I'm not a police trainer, but it's just horrible.
I'm just going off of what I saw in the video. They used non-lethal force on him initially.
Yeah.
The taser. That doesn't work. He does not listen to them. They've got the weapon. He's got a knife. So people with a knife are, and again, police training is people with a knife within 10 feet of you are deadly.
Oh, sure.
Okay? So, you know, the gun comes out because you can't pull your gun fast enough. If a guy's within 10 feet of you with a knife, you can't get your gun out fast enough to protect yourself before the guy is on you, all right? So the guns are out because this guy's armed with a deadly weapon. And they've got a warrant for his arrest, so they're taking him into custody. He doesn't listen to what they say. They try to maneuver around him. He gets to his car, opens the door, and reaches into the car. I'm sorry. At that point, if you're a cop, you're going.
You don't have to empty the whole.
He's going for something worse.
You don't have to empty the whole gun.
Yes, you do. You shoot until he stops moving. And I've taken concealed carry classes, and for a civilian, when you pull the gun out, because you're not authorized to use deadly force, the cops are. You're not authorized to use deadly force. If you pull your gun out as a civilian, the general rule is you're pulling it out because you intend to kill somebody or you're in fear of deadly force being used, reasonable fear of deadly force being
right.
used against you. So your weapon comes out, you're going to shoot somebody. And they, you know, the rule is you shoot them until they stop moving.
Well, I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding on a lot of people's parts on a lot of things. I mean, I don't know what the people who see these things and see, you know, how horrible they are. Hey, whenever anybody gets shot, it's horrible. And I don't like to see anybody hurt. Who knows that? But I don't think the average person, and I'm not so sure I do either because I've never had to do it, what does an average stop for somebody? Every stop for an arrest is not a smooth deal. Everyone is a difficult moment. There's people who have been on this show that have been stopped for speeding and or using their cell phone, that were all pissed off during the stop. And you're talking about not felonies. I mean, you know, they can't stand the cop. Cop was this. I mean, every one of these things.
I guarantee you, if you're stopped and taken out of a car, and you're carrying a weapon already, and you don't listen to the police, and you make an aggressive move, and that's what this guy was doing. I'm sorry. He was. Somebody will say, "Well, he turned his back to him." He was reaching into the car for something.
Okay, but
he wasn't trying to roll with you.
What I'm saying
is reaching into the
car.
Every one of
these things now is becoming not now, but is, you know, you go to arrest somebody, stand where you are, all of a sudden the guy walks away. Every one of these things has to be worse than it was a year ago.
This is not Laquan McDonald.
No.
With a kid walking down the street, obviously impaired, just not doing anything. this is a guy with a weapon going to a place where he could get another more dangerous weapon, ignoring the police telling him to stop. He's already got a warrant out for sexual assault. He's already got, either convicted or charged, I can't remember which, for assaulting police officers.
Nobody knows any of that stuff.
I'm sorry. If you act like this around cops, you are inviting yourself to be shot.
Well, that's,
the police are not going to wait for you to turn around with a gun in your hand.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of that, I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is, I don't know, even the guy who was Minnesota. I mean, I feel sorry for that dude, too. I mean, I don't say, but I mean, you're talking
the Floyd situation, you know, and by the way, we don't know anything about the background of these police officers,
no.
But in the Floyd situation, there's not any evidence that I'm aware of that race was a factor.
No, here's what I'm saying, Lou. When you're talking about somebody who's a big man, he's out. I mean, the whole culture in some of these areas, I don't think people. I don't know what you do, Lou. But I'm searching for an answer here. Let me tell you a quick story because then we don't have that much time. Obviously,
let me throw this out.
I'm saying there's a dude here. Larry here in the office. Larry was on jury duty several years ago. So he's on there, and some guy gets whacked in the face with a hatchet. Okay, and he goes, they took him to county hospital. The guy looked great. You'd never guess the guy got whacked with a hatchet. But here's the guy. He gets on the stand. He says he didn't seem like a horrible guy or anything. He gets on the stand, and he basically tells everybody that for the last 20 years he's been on welfare, has never had a job. He buys drugs every day with the money that the state sends him, and he stands in front of one of these stores buying a pack of cigarettes and selling the twosies, the onesies and the twosies to people in the street. Basically out there with guys fighting over their turf and who gets to sell. I mean, Lou, this is an entire culture that I don't know how to deal with. I mean, if all of a sudden these guys start causing some trouble, what do you do? I mean, there's no turning it around. I mean, maybe if we had the money or the conviction, which we probably should have, there'd be some kind of training in the jail. There'd be something. Or the guys would come out auto mechanics or garbage, whatever it is, would have a regular job. I mean, I don't know what this. The depths of what's going on in these areas where people are on meth all the time. It's not a normal arrest where you hand somebody the handcuffs and they put them on themselves and say thank you very much. I mean, it's not. The world is weird here. But here's, I want to get back to the employment part of it is, and I don't get this, Lou. I didn't know all the details that you're telling me. Either way, somebody's hurt and hurt bad, and I feel bad about it. Whether, you know, this, that, and the other way. And a lot of people in trouble, and there's going to be damage and all over the place. I don't get to not manage my people's money today. If I'm a garbage guy, I don't get to not pick people's garbage up.
Yep,
I mean, my job has a purpose to it. Even if it's every job, picking up garbage, it has a purpose to it. People need their garbage picked up. I don't denigrate anybody who has a job that people need. I mean, how do you just say, well, screw it, I'm not going to work, and by the way, pay me? I mean, I don't get that.
That's exactly right. I look at this and I go, okay. So here's the moral outrage over this situation. And yet, the NBA, you know, there are two lessons out of this, with this walkout. The first is that there's a collective bargaining agreement in place that almost certainly doesn't allow for this kind of thing. And where maybe there's a separate side agreement that they contemplated this, but this is almost certainly a violation of the CBA and a violation of the individual player contracts. And if the NBA wants to continue as a functioning organization, I think it needs to take a stand and say, you guys can't do this. Or at least we're not going to pay you if you do this. The second message that I think comes through on this is that whatever you do in these circumstances, it's never enough. The NBA has bent over backwards with the graphics on the court floor, the stupid social justice nameplates and sayings that are all in one direction. I mean, you're not allowed to say free the Uyghurs or support Hong Kong. It's all got to be in what I consider to be an anti-American direction. Hey, they by the way, over backwards.
Hey, by the way, without interrupting,
it's not enough.
Without interrupting, too late. I already did. We're going to have the head of the Uyghur group in the U.S. on the show. I think. Would you like him on when you are on?
Good. If that works, that works. I'm happy to talk about it.
Because you know more about it than me, you'd be a better interviewer than me because you're more researched. I'm sure the guy would be fascinating.
You're going to be horrified at what he says.
Oh, I know. Well, that's, you know, we can take it.
So the NBA has been over backwards on this stuff, and it's never enough, Chief.
No,
it never will be enough. Every concession leads to another concession, and so if I'm the NBA at this point, and again, this is the house. As I said, the house of cards that Adam Silver has built. They have, I think, abrogated their role as managers. But you know, the NBA teams are private employers. They don't have a public obligation to stockholders or anything else. They just have an obligation to their public. And maybe the players have realized that NBA viewership, largely, I think, as a result of this social justice foolishness, the NBA ratings are way down. Nobody really cares. I think watching the sports talk community try to whip this thing up into some kind of, you know, interest in the basketball season is pure balderdash.
Yep.
But I think maybe the players are just saying, you know what, nobody cares about this stuff. Let's go home.
All right, Lou, we got a dash, but I didn't get my full Lou fix. I might have to call you. We have to have more of a Lou fix before next week.
Okay, well, just let me know. I mean, I'll be happily get up at 5 a.m. some other morning, but just let me know.
By the way, as AV has taken his turn to the right, I don't know if you've listened to the shows, everybody's convinced that you're the cause of it.
I'm on the side of the truth.
What's your move? Who's else? Excuse me, what's your move?
See?
I'm on the side of the truth.
Oh, no, she's on the side of the truth.
If Republic is going to do the same thing, I will be alone on my side.
See?
I would ask you to. I mean, Joe Biden finally yesterday was able to get something out of his mouth criticizing the riots that the Democratic power structure has basically been supporting for the last 3 months. I would encourage you to sort of just watch what's happening at the Republican convention, which I'm not a big fan of conventions either way. They obviously just give one side of things, but watch what's happening at the Republican convention because what they're doing is masterful in terms of persuasive power. Completely different from what the Democrats did, but of course, when you're running, you know, basically a cantaloupe as your candidate, you have limited options, and their options right now are those limited options are showing. The Republicans are not so constrained, and you're seeing that in the convention performances of a bunch of people. I'm not saying it's all accurate. I'm not saying it's all truthful. I'm just looking at it from the persuasive point of view of somebody who is looking for a reason to not vote for the cantaloupe. I think you have plenty of reasons.
It's an interesting. Lou, we'll have time to talk about this. You take care of yourself, buddy. Sorry about us being late. SP Futures down 8.25, NASDAQ Futures down 29. Come back, Mr. Dan Janitas.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. S&P futures down 950 down. NASDAQ futures down 37. A little bit of a pause behind the before the Powell Jackson Hole speech. Well, nobody's in Jackson Hole. We have Dan with us?
Yes.
Dan, I think we should have gone to Jackson Hole this year and done the show from there. At least we'd have been there.
I would have been there.
The only time we would ever be invited. The only time they'd let us in.
Great place.
I'm sure they'd probably let you in. They wouldn't let me in. I mean, on a normal year. But I could see you buying Mr. Powell a $25 martini. I could see you doing that.
Sure.
Hey,
sure, yeah, beautiful spot.
Oh, are you a skier?
Yes.
You've been up there?
I have.
I have too, a long time ago, but I loved it.
Did you ever
go across the other side and go to Grand Targhee?
I have.
Isn't that a great place?
Yeah. The Tetons are beautiful. That whole area is amazing.
Beautiful
part of our country.
I can't name one myself. Can you name a colder place on earth than the top of that tram at Jackson?
Yeah. The top of the tram at Wildcat Mountain in New Hampshire, near where Mount Washington is pretty cold.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, you get up there and everybody just puts their skis on and gets the hell out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I was thinking about you yesterday big time. We have a gentleman who just came on at PTI, and used to do a lot of stuff in pension areas and so forth, and he's going to hopefully build on that here at PTI and take our Wall Street advisor, our investment advisor arm, into a new level. But anyway, he's done a lot of stuff with pensions, and I was telling him about you. And I was like, hey, we got this guy on the show that's really, he was bringing up some in his mind. He has, you know, he's been kind of doing something else for a little while, but it's funny, Dan. He's still thinking like, even though he knows this is the new world or where we're in, but he thinks a little bit like when the pensions like 2 or 3 years ago. And obviously, when you put a pension together, I mean, I'm not going to go with the whole story, but you know who your people are. You have your actuarial stuff. You're supposed to pick a level that you think you can get, be it 5%, 4, 4.5, 6, whatever you think the number is. This is just a real pension fund, not a municipal one where they use it as a way to not put enough money in there. But I mean, for real, if you pick a number that's like 5, and all of a sudden a guy like you comes up with a really terrific bond that's returning 6.5 or 7, I mean, you jump on it and you say, job well done. You know, you're 2% ahead of what you think, the rate you need, and all of a sudden now you're happy with your actuarial stuff, you're happy with your contributions. And what do you do? You're much closer to that than I. What do you do when every single fixed income thing out there is less than the number you need?
Yeah, and that problem, we've been talking about this the past few weeks, and that trend is actually continuing. In fact, the bonds that we had been talking about for the past month or so, the Southwestern energy bonds that I was originally buying between 8% and 10%, traded down to 6 when we first started talking, and then the last time we were talking about levels closer to 4, and just this morning, the offered side is 1.6.
Wow.
Percent. So, and this is a double B rated bond. It's a high quality bond, and the company has set aside the cash to pay the interest and principal when they mature in a couple of years, but, you know, it's a solid management team. It's a great story, predominantly focused on gas, but it's the trend has been accelerating as this sort of reach for yield has continued. So it has been difficult. I mentioned last time a couple of names on the preferred stock side. The trend in preferred stocks has continued. Preferred stock prices have run up. The ETFs have run up. So there's been more demand on the preferred side. We are fortunate because we're smaller and we're nimble to move into those areas of the market. I don't know if I would call it sector rotation, but to move into those areas of the market that we believe have a little more upside, good solid names, good long-term names, but not necessarily just staying in the area that we have where we have our primary focus. So the income fund that I run for Interactive Brokers, that continues to invest in short-term, high-yield, anything income producing, has some preferred stocks, and those continue to do well. But when you're looking for a portfolio and you want core positions that have now, your core bonds are now trading down to, you know, from 8% down to 2%, you need to replace them. You need to find something that gets a little more, has a little more upside. So we have the flexibility to look at some other names that may not be high dividend paying stocks, but they're names that we've done a lot of research on. And believe it or not, their names were the beta, the volatility, if you will, of the price of the stock is very low, even though they may be a microcap or a small cap stock. And, for example, there's a couple names I can mention that we've moved into. And what we do when we make these transitions is we're out in front of our clients and we're talking to them. So we're not, rather than going to them and saying, hey, there's just no yield out there, we go to them, we say we have other opportunities. And we do believe there's upside in some of these other opportunities. We do believe this rally that we're having overall in the equity market is going to continue into the, you know, over the next few months. And a lot of that's, you know, we're in election year. And this is what happens in election years. And there is still optimism and there is still cash. And there is still hope for, you know, a vaccine. So I think this optimism is going to continue to drive the market in other areas. But rather than chasing up the go-go names or chasing down the yield, we look for opportunities in other areas, well-managed companies that may have been overlooked. We mentioned a couple of the names like MasTec, which does infrastructure, a lot of work on infrastructure rebuilding after hurricanes, and we're going to have one. We're going to have one here pretty soon in Louisiana. It also they also do maintenance of cell towers and maintenance of pipelines. And MasTec is a good, steady name to hold in your portfolio. It's not going to give you a lot of yield, but it is going to give you some steady upside. A couple of other names that, or what I would call, may appear a little different than what we normally do, but are very much in the sweet spot of what we do in terms of microcap and small cap. And these are names where we've met with the management teams, like the management team, like the story, and the stocks are undervalued. So the trend towards, look at it in the equity world, the trend sort of away from the growthy go-go names and back to some of the smaller value names that may not have high dividends but may have more upside than some other sectors right now. One name is Ameresco. Ameresco is ticker symbol AMRC, and it's a business that focuses on energy efficiency. It's a business that focuses on infrastructure upgrades, and it's a business that focuses on renewable energy. And they're based in Framingham, Massachusetts, terrific management team. They're ahead of the curve, if you will, in terms of having been well established to focus on these areas. They have a lot of contracts with municipal governments, and big question is why invest in a company that would focus on municipal governments. What these municipal governments are doing is trying to reduce their energy, make their energy costs more efficient. So a lot of the street lights that you see are going to LED lighting, which is a major cost saving. So if you know, with digging a little bit more, getting to know management, finding out a little bit about the segments of the business they're in, but really liking the theme that they're in going forward, this isn't so much a quick fix. You know, it's not a quick fix theme. It's a long-term theme. It's a company that's really made its mark. And so this would be a kind of name, I think, in this environment that we expect to do well, regardless of the outcome of the election, regardless of if we have a slowdown. One other name I'll get, which is another Boston-based company, something totally different than you've heard from me in the past, but something that we, you know, in the microcap and small cap space, we focus on, and this is a biotech company called Immunogen, ticker symbol IMGN, and I heard these guys at a conference a few months back. They have an alternative therapy for ovarian cancer. It's a drug that's in third stage of clinical trials. It's a company that has been restructured with a management team that is very impressive, very highly educated, very passionate about what they're doing. And I think when you have a management team that has a lot of passion in their product, in their drug that they're producing, I think that adds to the enthusiasm for the company. And I think they got the right people in place since they've restructured. And there's three women that are on the top here that are just amazing. You know, blew me away after talking to other companies that these guys really stuck out. And that stock is up 10% since we purchased it. Ameresco stock is up more than 10% over the last month. I think there's a lot of upside in these two names. So you're going to you have to look at the capital appreciation. I think shift to what I would refer to as capital appreciation in some other areas of the market that have been overlooked. And that's really what we do best.
You know,
looking for those areas. There's always value in the market. But without having to short names that have run too much, we still think there are names, if you do a little more homework, they offer great diversification of the portfolio. If you start stretching for yield too much, you're going to have to look at the underlying credit, the underlying company fundamentals, and see if the risk return is worth it. And we think, for example, with Southwestern, if bonds are being offered at 1.6, we can do a little more with our money. So we've been selling some of those names and moving into a diversified portfolio of some stocks that are small and micro that have upside, and actually kind of the stocks of the future, if you will, and of the long-term future, not of the immediate future. So this is the you know, the sector rotation, if you will, or the movement into areas that are you know, still very, you know, it's an opportunistic move that will give us some upside and give us some diversification and keep us and keep me and my clients from you know, being too disconcerted by the low yields that are being offered out there.
Dan, so, how much did the huge rise in gas price, that had to really help at Southwestern?
Yeah, I mean, gas, yes. Again, the main thing that I'll say about Southwestern, as I will with most of the companies we invest in, solid management team. But gas, yes, certainly gas prices have helped. The, you know, oil, Brent was at close to 46 yesterday. You know, that has helped some other companies that we're invested in. Neighbors Energy is, you know, we're about to unload our bonds that mature in a few weeks here that have been home runs. Company that's a driller, predominantly onshore, you know, global company, well, you know, terrific management in an industry that's not very exciting, but they had a preferred stock that I talked about early on, was trading in the 3-4 range, and now yesterday we were selling it in the 8s. So at this point, it might be a good name to lighten up. It's traded like anywhere from 6 to 10, but it's a good sale around 8. So here's an industry again that may not have long-term, you know, potential, but there's, you know, that would be one that would have a short-term player that we've been moving away from in this environment. So there's the thing about investing is being nimble, having the flexibility to move when it's time to move, when you've reached your price limit or your yield limit, if you will, on the downside, and then you have other opportunities out there. You always have a bench. You always have an on deck. You always have. We're always doing homework, and we're always looking at new names, so that we can continue to provide the upside, even if it's not coming strictly from income.
Dan, the two questions. One on this, IMGN, and there's no delicate way to ask this, so I'll just ask it. Do they have the shall we say the horses to run this drug all the way through? And when I ask that question, I ask for a reason. I've not been involved with, but I had two people that listened to the show through the years that had really nice, one had a drug, one had a medical device. And just when they got to the spot where they were there, they ended up running into all kinds of issues with testing and everything, where the industry basically screwed them, and they ended up, you know, selling out for 20 cents on the buck to Merck or somebody, and they buried the product. I mean, are they going to make it themselves, or is that the danger here?
Yeah, and that is your story is the reason that we generally stay away from single product biotech companies. I grew up in the Boston area, and so all those companies were around me, and I knew that there was, you know, some great stories, but in terms of the actual execution and being able to get the funding to get through these products, we did our homework on ImmunoGen. They already went through their restructuring.
Okay.
And the new company came out with strong leadership, a very, very large backlog of funding coming from a lot of resources, and that was my first question to them, and that is not an issue at all. The success that they've been getting in their recent trials has been unbelievable, and the support, if you will, for an alternative treatment for ovarian cancer is really strong, but there's not any competition. So the world is sort of relying on ImmunoGen because they've gone further along in this process. They do have some hiccups. They will have probably more hiccups. They have had some hiccups, but I think what the team that's in place right now and the resources that are in place, both financially and also in terms of the talent they have for the medical community, is superior, I think, to a lot of other biotech firms that we've looked at. And again, this isn't necessarily our, you know, we don't have a portfolio filled with biotech, but we look at it as one of the winners in this space. and a nice diversifier in an environment that could be choppy, as the year progresses.
Second question, this, when you're on Stocks and Jacks, I love having you, and I hope that it does for you that someday the guy from CalPERS calls you up and says, you're the man, here's $5 billion. How nimble could you be with a number that big? Is it beyond nimble?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, I've managed very, as an institutional portfolio manager, going back to my days at Loomis Sayles, I've managed, half million or more in assets. You can be nimble. The way you can be nimble in today's environment is by realizing and recognizing that we have a lot of liquidity in the market. If that changes, then it'll be more difficult to be nimble. The hardest thing about being a money manager is not taking the assets that you have and putting the cash to work. The hardest thing is dealing with the cash flows into your account and out of your account. So if you're running a mutual fund and all of the shareholders are selling at a time when you're getting have great opportunities, that's a difficult environment to be a PM in, be a portfolio manager in. And the opposite happens as well, when you're getting all this capital and you don't have anywhere to put it. Right now, there is so much capital. I mean, there are so many great ideas. On the institutional side where we trade, we have access to a lot more than the retail investor, but we there's a lot of liquidity. There are two sides of every, we have bid and offer on every investment we make, including some distressed names. So this environment, I would say no. Now, if this environment changes, that does become a problem as you build up. And again, some of it will depend on whether you're getting cash or whether you're getting securities. And when you get securities, obviously you have to do your homework on everything you own because you may want to hold on to those. There is a threat, I've read some of this, and it kind of concerns me that there could be a tax on trades that comes in if we have a Democrat in office, and that does concern me because I think that would make things a little bit more. That certainly wouldn't help things if you want to be trading more frequently, because the environment we're in right now allows us to trade frequently. But in terms of me personally being able to handle a large account, I've done that in the past. I wouldn't necessarily call it nimble. You're a lot more nimble when you're talking about millions rather than billions. But there is still a lot of opportunity out there. There's been a lot of issuance recently, both in fixed income and in the equity markets. I believe that's going to continue. So I don't think we're going to have a problem on the liquidity side.
Dan, I think I'm very impressed with how you seem to be able to find the gem in the middle of the haystack. I'm a little concerned. We have a minute, but I'm a little concerned that we're both talking in our own way about this concept somewhat of relative value, and that troubles me a little bit, because I was listening to one of the ladies on CNBC yesterday, and she's talking about how the COVID hit in March and the market went way down, and real investors propped up and they said this is too low and the market's good and, by the way, the future's bright and all this BS. I'm looking at the money supply number. The Fed put more money into the market in those 2 months than in any year on record.
Ever.
I think what you're doing and what I'm doing is trying to find the ones that are relatively cheap and protecting ourselves and using our head is the way to go. And that's why, we're both in business doing what we're doing, but I just get this weird feeling that I don't know what these guys can't be going to do $4 trillion a year forever, or what's the place going to look like? And I don't know what happens when they turn the bus around. I just,
Yeah, hopefully they won't turn it around too quickly. But in terms of you think back during this 10-year period in the past decade where you could just buy an on-the-run ETF, an SPY, an ETF that represented the market, and you could just sit on it and watch it run, and your cost wasn't that high, and you could buy it in, a large position in your portfolio, and that's what I think many people were doing. And I was looking forward to the period where we'd have some differentiation between passive and active investors. We're now doing your homework makes a lot more sense in this environment because, yeah, you can still buy those SPYs, but when the S&P is breaking a record, to me that doesn't mean there's as much upside going forward. It means that you got to look for those names that have been left behind.
Then we got
to the ability to do the research and the ability to find those names that haven't been followed by everybody else will keep us out of trouble when and if there is a turn in the market. And you know, I always say that when you have a portfolio and you're going to speak in front of a client, you want to know something about every name that you own in your portfolio. And you know, to me, it's somewhat, you know, I don't want to use the word cheating, but it's really not doing your work and not doing your homework just to ride a market with an ETF, a broad-based ETF. We're in a sector rotation. We're in a sector rotation market. We're in a stock pickers environment. And even our portfolio returns have shown that, you know, you can double and, you know, make 50% or double the returns in some of the names we have right now. And it certainly helped our performance on the equity side.
Dan, the good news is that
we're up anywhere from 30 to 40% on our all equity portfolios. So this is the environment to make money.
We're in an
environment. The one other thing I'll add is that the environment we're in and the world we're in is filled with fear. And fear is a negative emotion. And this is an environment to capitalize on. It's not an environment to sit back and just sit on the S&P 500 index.
Dan, we have to continue
this
next week.
This is an environment to look for those special names because fear creates inefficiencies.
We got a dash, bud. Dan Janitas from Creatus Capital. Hey, good stuff. It's a good compliment because you dig out these, and I'm more of an index guy. So it is interesting what we talk
about. Good combination.
Take care of yourself, bud. We'll talk at you next week. SP Futures now down 175. NASDAQ Futures down 19. Buy the dip. Can't sell this market. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The control freaks guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatory laboratories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. The U.S. second reading of the second quarter GDP is only down 31.7% versus 32.5 that was the first way through. So I guess we're getting better. Dow futures down 32. NASDAQ futures down 27. And S&P futures down 475. They were down more earlier. We're coming back. Got to buy every dip, for God's sake. DAX down 18. And that's what works. So, I mean, I'm not poo-pooing it. DAX down 18.1%. FTSE up a penny. A penny. I'll call that flat. CAC around down 11.2%, so nothing going on in Europe. This is their big vacation, a couple weeks normally. Well, I don't know how much people are traveling over there with the COVID. Nikkei down 82, it's 0.3%. Shanghai up 20.6%. They were down a bunch yesterday. Hang Seng down 210, it's 0.8%. So we get some, you know, not much going on over there in different directions. Just for a review of yesterday, before Powell's speech, the Dow Jones was up 83. S&P was up 35, which is huge. NASDAQ was up 198, that's 1.7%, so a real big day to the upside again. The usual stuff, Tesla, Google, Netflix up like, you know, 5%, 10%. Actually, Netflix I think was up 10%. Now what all of a sudden made Netflix worth 10% more yesterday? I don't know, but this is getting really crazy in my opinion. Treasury yield down from 0.7 to 0.67. One minus 0.45, so the Treasury's going the other way. Japan, however, positive 0.05%. I'm going to have to go back and have somebody research. That's got to be a decade ago that it was that high. Oil, down 25 cents, 43.14. Brent down 22 cents, 45.42. Natural gas up 4 cents, 2.50. RBOB is down 3 cents, 132. And we have gold is down 4.50, 19.48. Silver down 15 cents, 27.29. Copper, 2.96. I'm still trying to hack my way into a long copper position, but still have not done it. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and hurricane.
Good morning, friends. Hope you guys having a great Thursday morning and could catch up a beautiful sunrise today. It's 91 degrees in Chicago, sunny with increased clouds and some scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Low around 71 at night. Showers and thunderstorms are expected later tonight. Sunny in Phoenix, still excessive heat warning in Arizona. Highest is 113 and the lowest 89 at night. No accidents reported at this time, but traffic volume is definitely increasing, especially in the busiest parts like Adams East from West Division down to West Monroe and Adams West from Roosevelt Road to I-55. A lot of this has to do with the constructions on Dan Ryan. Lakeshore Drive traffic slows down if you're heading north from East 18 Drive up to East Randall. And in sports, we have White Sox won 10-3 to Pirates, Cubs lost to Tigers 6-7, and Diamondbacks lost 7-8 to Rockies. Chief, back to you.
Back to us, eh? Johnny, you with us?
I'm here. Good to talk to you.
I'm reading about Hurricane Laura. This thing turned into quite a... I don't know why the other one didn't increase. I guess I'm happy it didn't. This one sure did. They think it might actually hit it maybe as a light five, but wow, the storm surge was going, what, 30 miles inland? They're talking flooding in the Arkansas River, Tennessee River, Ohio Valley. The whole, this thing's not stopping.
Yeah, it really, you know, it came up faster in the last 12 hours or so than was predicted, I think. And the other one, you know, sort of petered out. But the storm surge for this was pretty formidable. So, yeah, it's awful stuff.
And, I mean, it's The thing was about as big as half the Gulf yesterday when I was seeing it on satellite. Like,
the radar was amazing.
Yeah. And the eye, even on land, the thing still has a pretty solid eye. It's only down to like a Category 2 after it hit.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual, especially when it's that far west.
Yeah.
It keeps that kind of strength.
Yeah, I don't know. This is but they think it's going to go north and make a huge right turn and run up the Ohio Valley. I don't know how they got that all predicted, but they do, whoever the theys are. There's always got to be theys, right?
And, theys.
There's the theys.
Those darn theys.
Those darn. But, John, it's funny. I don't know if you listened to it for Dan Janulis and he. Janita. And it is very difficult right now to value this market and looking at the concept of relative value, which obviously Dan does very well, and to a large extent, that's what I'm doing for my people. I mean, I'm looking at stocks that haven't moved, trying to find the ones that somebody's going to discover tomorrow. And if all of a sudden we just keep running up, I mean, here's you know, find a company that hasn't participated, and you jump on it. And but I also know that the concept of relative value is, you know, if somebody buys your car for $60,000, does that mean my truck's worth $25,000? I got to find a fool first, right? That's gonna pay, you know,
just the right kind of fool.
Just
too.
The right kind of fool. So you get dangerous there, and when you start talking yourself into thinking that all this happened on its own. I mean, you can talk about the market looks forward, the market does this. We're looking for a vaccine or a flu shot, for lack of a better term. I get all that. Yet, anybody who thinks that the market should be higher now than it was before we even heard of the COVID, I don't know if I believe that, do you? With 40% of the country, a lot of the companies...
Not very realistic. No particular reason why it should be, anyway.
Well, we're talking about 30-40% of people. Places that we know are out. The debt is monstrous. We're talking about whole cities that people are leaving. Their tax bill is not going to get paid. You know, and I this idea that no matter what it is, the government can send this check. Whatever possessed people, I mean, we're all on this bandwagon, and I don't see how that bandwagon stays on. I mean, I hope that obviously whoever AstraZeneca, if that's the one Trump, or whoever it is, somebody comes up with a flu shot in the next couple of months and enough people take it to erase some of this fear. But I don't see the building we're in is occupied. I haven't heard of anybody not necessarily paying their rents. They have a huge tax bill that they didn't have 10 years ago. It's gone up dramatically. I don't know how everybody writes these checks, John. I mean, I honestly don't. I mean, we're fine. I mean, we were at one point the only people in the place for a week. You know, but I don't, this whole, the barbershop I've gone to for 29 years, they closed up. I mean, there's just closing after closing after closing, especially in this downtown area. New York, while they were talking about, the mayor came out and they had these people from the restaurant. They had this, I look like maybe an Arabian guy and a black lady. And obviously there's a million different ethnic restaurants in New York. And they're saying these people don't know what they're doing. I mean, not only you can't have a place, they're going to go from like 50% occupancy to 25 or something. They're going, what are you doing? I mean, how do you have a place? I mean, people want to go. The whole purpose of being in a place like New York is because you walk out your door. You don't have to cook. Every place you go, it's a very social place. I mean, you can't strip that away from a place and just say don't do that for like 2 years or 5 years. Some places here now are. I heard some people yesterday are not going to back to work for until like June of next year. Like, I mean, John, what are we doing? And the dumbest thing I've heard yet is the suburban area where the schools are not opening, and for the people who both the parents work, they can send their kids to the park district, and the park district employees are going to keep an eye on the kids while they do their schoolwork instead of going to school. Could somebody think of something dumber?
I can't think of what it would be. Could you imagine the kind of depths we've come to when we throw the idea of education under the bus and now just go to daycare and don't even make any bones about what we're calling it? To me, it's like, well, losing a year of instruction when you're a kid is pretty cataclysmic. You know, ask any kid who's been held back for a year, what happens to your desire to succeed, what happens to your motivation, what happens to your interest level. A lot of them just never get back in the groove the way they were before. And as you get older, you get, you know, more cynical, a little, you think you're a little smarter than you were the year before. And of course, if you're not going to school, you're not getting smarter at all. And,
no.
And you think you are, though. And you figured out you've kind of beaten, you know, your way around this thing that you don't like anyway very much. And now we've kind of devalued the schools in such a way that we say it's okay not to go. Pretty much.
Well,
so just, you know, if this is what online education was supposed to set us up for, then it was a bad idea from the get-go.
Well, the people who
became a kind of template that they wanted to use for education across the board.
The people who
I don't think anybody really wanted that, anything that extreme this quickly, anyway.
Well, the people who are worried, and everybody should be, about, you know, historical discrimination, all those kinds of things. I'm going to say the COVID and his learning from home has set those areas back more than anything I've seen in my lifetime.
Absolutely. It's completely derailed progress, you know, for the people who maybe never mattered very much to the average person anyway. They were kind of behind the scenes. They were in neighborhoods people never visited or knew or cared very much about. When this becomes, you know, a norm for them, we are looking at so much lost time and energy and promise that I don't see any way of you know, reversing it. It's just something we're going to be stuck with. We might lose a whole generation of people at this rate.
Well, John, one of the things that I get people write me every week, say, where the hell's the chief 7 to 10 solutions that will help the world? And every week I kind of put it off because we've been pretty busy here at PTI, but one of my things to change the world, especially in an area like Chicago, would be to totally expand the role of certainly the high school. I don't know, hopefully you wouldn't have to do it too many of the grammar schools, but maybe you would, to where not only would, when you have the ability of, you think that you can send kids home, and why they think this I have no idea, because they didn't during a depression, as my mother used to tell me. The teacher never assumed he was going to get any help from home. Everything was done in the class, and you had the kid for 6 hours, and that should be enough, or 5 hours, which was her feeling. If anything, a lot of what's happening in some of these areas is the adults are not educated to the extent they should be. And in the schools like, you know, Tilden Tech and those kinds of places shouldn't be just for the kids in high school. There should be classes at night for the parents, for God's sake. Why if you're going to teach the kid to be a carpenter when the dad doesn't have a job, why don't you have woodworking classes at night? I mean, who said that education stopped at 18? I mean, my view would be to turn those places into community centers almost. That would, you know, that used to be what the Catholic schools did in a lot of places. I mean, they didn't teach people how to be carpenters, but Why does the education stop where it is? As soon as the kids get out of here at 3 o'clock, we can't wait to shut the doors. I mean, and I don't think it's that much more money, Jan. We piss away so much money elsewhere, but we could find it. Not to mention, people maybe would pay some, you know. So,
well, that was the thinking behind the community college system at one time,
And
I think that it was, at least Illinois has kind of veered away from that mission. But well, the community college I taught at for years offered ESL classes to people of all backgrounds, all ages, GED classes for parents of students who had never finished high school. You could go back and get your equivalency degree for high school. Other adult ed classes. There were literacy classes, reading classes. And, you know, if you were a senior citizen, these were free. If you lived in the district, the tuition was fairly cheap for these. And it was kind of like an outreach that went beyond just the target student body. It was people trying to get college credits. And I was always amazed at the kind of positive outcomes that I used to hear about from people who had gone through these things. From, you know, I'd have students whose parents were going to a GED class and, you know, getting a lot out of it, and they were fired up and they were pushing education for their kids in ways they hadn't before when they realized they could finally complete this thing on their, you know, at long last. They were very moving stories, and Now I look at, you know, trying to do any of that in a climate like this, where the schools are kind of shunning students. Out of here.
Well,
do it somewhere else. Do it on your own dime. You know, we'll check in periodically. We'll see how it's going. That's not education,
no,
Tom. I mean, we're not going to have anything to show for this whole year.
I think
and then some. You know.
I think people need to take control, and the teachers are part of the discussion, but they don't make the final vote. No leadership there. I mean, how many was it? 2,200 last June. People said that seniors in high school in Chicago never even knew where they were after April, after the school shut down. They were never right. Contacted them. And I mean, I'm not how the structure is. I don't really have a problem with Kelly High School at night being run by Richard J. Daley Junior College. I don't care who does it. I'm just saying. We have a right. Huge vacant building, and we've got needs, and I think we could. My mom, I'm going to say until she was diagnosed with the lung cancer, was taking I don't know every single semester, but she didn't go. Maybe she skipped a quarter once or whatever, was semester a quarter. She took a class at St. Xavier till she was like 80. Every time she could, it was a history or it was something or it was a. You know, whatever it was. I mean, usually she was into history. She was, or so she'll take a Greek, tragedy thing or something. I mean, I don't think she was into languages and stuff. But
good for her.
But I mean, she never stopped. Talk about the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Huh? I mean, she thought education was the most incredible thing ever, and she never went to college, but she always wished she did. You know, I mean, she goes, the times just weren't right. Everybody had to go to work, and how many times is a valedictorian from high school not go to college? She was valedictorian in England High School, of all places. But I mean, this whole idea, if you want to put respect back into these communities, you have to respect the community, and the people have to respect themselves, and it's not an easy process, Chad. I mean, it's not, I mean, if, I mean, I, the, all these schools have big gymnasiums, and kids are hanging around in the park, getting shot. Why can't you have summer leagues in the school where you can at least protect people? I mean, there's a lot that could be done here, and there's a lot of people making a lot of money and they're not doing anything, in my opinion.
Well, you know, education always was pretty serious business, or at least it should have been always serious business, and it takes an incredible amount of energy to do a...
I think AV dropped you. Yeah, I mean,
why AV is first thing is AV all the time.
Well, because when things go well, I say it's because of you, and when things go bad, it's because you're just the way things are. You know, so when you get married and the dinner's burnt, you're going to say it wasn't your fault. It was a stove. Just saying. Anyway, today Jerome Powell is going to give this speech, and I don't want to get into it too much because Jan and I have better things to talk about, but. In all my years, since I started my economics training at Notre Dame 50 years ago, I'm going to say I've never thought of a speech that he's going to give today that is more ignorant and more. Are you here, Jen?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I was just mentioning, since you weren't here to tone me down, I'm going to say, in all my educational and my readings on economic policy and monetary policy, the speech today, after going through the stuff in the 70s and reading about the stuff in 1920 and 1948, what the Fed is proposing today could be the most ignorant policy thing I've ever heard in this country, except maybe putting the Japanese in camps or invading Iraq. It's right up there. Now, I hope I'm not right, but I think I am. Just saying.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be some attempt to justify or institutionalize what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Which is just like jaw-dropping to me.
Well, I mean, but what are we going to do with the median income that has gone up 10% in 20 years when all of a sudden you have an inflation number of 15% next year or the year after? What are those people going to do? We've decided with this COVID thing, something that I've suspected for a while, we have an incredible, even though everybody's convinced they're every man and care about people. Just by the way people talk, not people in general, not our listeners, not you or whatever, certainly not EV. I mean, we've become this kind of weird society where there's the other people and then there's us. I mean, even this thing, and I don't know if it's heavy because I did with Blue a little bit, this thing with all these, the football, or football, baseball, and all these players boycotting because of the thing in Kenosha. And I don't know all the details. It looked pretty bad. Lou is now saying there's a lot of mitigating circumstances. I don't know. I don't know how the trial's going to play out. But that's why we have a trial. That's in this country, that's why you're supposed to let these things play out and both sides get to give their piece. Because just because it's a video you saw, maybe the conclusion is what it appears to be, maybe not. But that's why you have a trial. And if you don't feel that the system here is better than anybody else's, that a lot of people died to get it, if you don't think that this policeman doesn't get a defense, that's pretty un-American to me. I mean, now he may be totally wrong, and like I say, he's going to have to come up with some good stuff after that video, but the point being is that's our, but I don't see people feeling that way anymore, John. And what I'm saying is, one of Mike Royko's interesting columns was, whenever he asked somebody what he did for a living, he should be able to say it in three words. I fight fires. You know, I arrest bad guys or whatever. You know, I mow lawns. I don't understand how you can decide you're not going to work because of something bad happening. I understand this, but you don't go to work for yourself. You go to work for the other people. I'm here because I owe it to the people I manage money for to be here. That's what I've promised them I'm going to do. All right. If the garbage guy, you pick up the garbage because people need their garbage picked up. If the guy on the bus says, I'm not driving today, people don't get to work. There should be a reason why you go to work is to do something for other people. Am I right? But then others...
Look at the NFL, Tom.
Yeah, what's I'm saying.
You know, when every game started to get turned into a referendum on whether we should stand for the national anthem or kneel for it or chuck the national anthem completely, look at what happened to the fan base. People started staying away in droves. The only people who really took it on the chin in all of that were the fans. And it's the same thing with the NBA now. They're boycotting the fans who have been starved for any kind of entertainment, you know, for the last 6 months. And this is how you treat the fans, the people who made your careers, the people who made you the celebrities that you are and that you enjoy, and you have millions of dollars from the fans. This is how you treat the fans. And what I really hate is that the NBA is so selective about what it is infuriated by. And that when people were complaining about Hong Kong protesters, boy, where was LeBron James then? Who was he sticking up for?
Actually, LeBron is probably one of the most...
A totally tin-eared bunch of people way in over their head who think they have way more power and charisma than they really do. And the whole thing will implode eventually because no fan likes to be treated this way. Believe me, if their gripe is with anybody, it isn't with the fans. This is what I just can't believe that they're getting away with and people aren't calling them on it.
Well, I think a lot of people... First of all, out of all the guys there... The one I think that is probably the most thoughtful is LeBron. I think he's an unusual type in that regard. I think he sees the world a lot better than most.
Right.
But he I think is kind of the next Magic Johnson, where he has improved himself all the way through. I think. I mean, that's my impression. I hope I'm right. But there is some discrimination in this country, more so than people think. I certainly felt it on the South Side. There's people that things have happened to them or whatever, or feel things have happened economically, whether they're right or wrong. In their mind, they're right, so they don't like the people who did it. You know, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, used to be Irish, used to be Polish, and it's black, it's Asians, whatever. I mean, a lot of people don't like other people that aren't like them. I mean, it just... Unfortunately, that's the way the world is. I mean,
like Irish Alzheimer's, Tom.
Yeah,
you know that term.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I hate that guy. Just
forget
don't remember
everything
why.
But your grudges.
Yeah, I hate that guy. Just don't remember why. But to say that there's not black people who hate white people is an understatement. I mean, there are. Nobody should hate that anybody anywhere, but people do. And whenever you say something, you should be asking yourself. I mean, I try to. I listen to the show sometimes, my own self. and say, what do I sound like? How am I coming off? I mean, am I coming off like an ass? I hope I'm not. You know, I mean, when somebody comes on, when you come on TV and you've got your place in the sun and your moment to shine and to say something that really hope you change people's minds, you're not like the lady last Sunday. You should pay my graduate tuition and maybe I'll come back and help my people. What? What? I mean, how could you go home and listen to yourself on TV and say, call up the station and say, please don't run that anymore, will you?
Save
me from my stupidity. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, there's no doubt that there are investments going on in communities that have not worked out. And a lot of people have had their finger in the pie. A lot of those people were white. A lot of those people were black, right? That stole from these programs. And the money never made it down to wherever. I mean, we know that. Now, the question is, can we, whites and blacks, sit down and say, let's get a plan going forward for everybody. Let's use the schools. Let's find a way to have some place for some of these kids to go in the summertime for 4 or 5 weeks, where they're maybe out of the neighborhood, where they're learning something. Maybe they're going to a national park. We have some classes there. Let's get some stuff going, John. People don't have their finger in the pie. And, oh, by the way, at the end of 2 or 3 years, if this chief guy's idea, if it didn't work out so well, let's stop it and try something else.
Sure.
I mean, how else can you do this? But fighting back and forth and not going to work is not the answer, I don't think.
But we're really digging a hole here.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. I mean, the chances of people coming out of this that are being polarized each way, coming out of this and shaking hands anytime soon, I don't know. I don't see it happening. And that's what has to happen. And I don't see either guy running for president being the guy that can pull that off, both by one personality and one, I don't know if he's even around. So we're kind of stuck here, John. And, you and I are getting too old to keep saying another 4 years. Maybe next time will be better, right? I mean, these 4 years are kind of running together. Anyway, SP Futures down 575, NASDAQ Futures down 27. John, thank you very much for filling in.
Yep.
I'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.